Good afternoon. You're listening to Rumour Jordan on I Heard a Rumour. It's 3 o'clock and 3 o'clock is special guest time. And today I am really pleased to introduce you to my guest, Mark Hilton, who is a singer, songwriter, performer and troubadour. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thanks a lot, Rumour.
It's nice to see you. Long way from Australia.
Yes, it is. but I've been living in Spain for a while, so and Europe, so...
So just before we came on air, you told me something really funny.
Oh, about how I found out about you? Yeah, well, I also played a lot of gigs in Vietnam over the last 10 years and I lived there half the time until I switched to Spain. But I met a guy there, an English guy, and we got chatting and he was a musician and he said, oh, he was playing gigs in the south of Spain and he recommended I contact Costa Colita Radio. So
yeah.
There we go.
Our reach goes as far as Vietnam.
Yeah.
Brilliant, isn't it? Okay, so right, let's get back to the interview. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a singer-songwriter. I come from Australia, and in Australia I had a trio. I had a band that was sort of a bluegrass style of band, no drummer. Originally we had a drummer, but then we started getting really interested in country and bluegrass music.
What does bluegrass?
It's a style of music that comes from America, sort of hillbilly music.
Okay.
It's often very it's a bit like Irish music in that they have some very up tempo songs with very virtuosic playing, very fast and very clever playing from the instrumentalists, and then also they have some very slow and mournful ballads, which is kind of sums up roughly what I do. I have a sort of a mixture of both of those things. So it's Appalachian music, that has influenced what I do a lot. The reason that I got into that was that I was playing with a guy that played the dobro and the banjo and the mandolin. And the dobro is that sort of steel guitar that you lay often on. You can play it like a guitar or you can lay it on your lap and play it with a slide, which is what he did.
Yeah.
But that the Brothers in Arms album by Dire Straits has a photograph of a dobro.
Yeah,
or a National
ringing,
Steel.
Yeah, it's really
they call them Resonator as a proper name because dobro is actually a brand name, but it's commonly called a dobro or a resonator guitar. So he played that and he sang beautiful harmonies to me, and we had an upright bass player. His name was Toby, and then I had Dan playing upright bass. And we did that for quite a few years, and we toured Australia a couple of times, or at least the East Coast. Of Australia, which is a long way to drive.
Yeah.
And... put out two or three albums. I'd put out some solo albums before that were more rock, more like Brit pop kind of style, and then I moved into this kind of country area, a few albums like that.
So and what made you move? Because that's quite a vast difference in style, going from sort of blues to
Brit pop.
So yeah, Brit pop or
rock
country.
Or whatever. Yes, it is, but that's just me. My taste is incredibly eclectic.
Yeah.
Like, they're not the only influences. I'm also have a whole batch of songs that I guess you would say would be like crooner jazz. So they have lyrics like Cole Porter and melodies like Duke Ellington, that sort of thing.
So you really are quite eclectic in your style.
Yeah, it's just my taste. You know, I listened to a lot of interesting stuff when I was young. My dad played piano and quite well. And he wanted to be a musician, but his parents made him go and do something else. So I think when I bailed out of university and decided to be a musician, I know he was very supportive, but I think he was sort of
reliving
his desires through me whatever.
Because it's a very unstable industry.
Yes.
And that's probably why your father was... pushed back against.
Exactly.
And for you, he just thought, well, just go live your dreams.
That's exactly what he said to me. He just said, look, if that's what you really love doing, that's what you should do. Because even though he loved his final profession, I think, he always held a soft spot on his heart for music. And anyway, so I had a lot of music around me when I was young. You know, he was playing Negro spirituals, folk music. And then, that's where I first heard the sort of early Bob Dylan stuff and Joan Baez and that sort of music and got interested in the acoustic side of things. But he also played a lot of classical music. He had a fairly big classical vinyl record collection. Yeah.
So those were all things that influenced you growing up.
Yeah, big band jazz, you know. And then later I developed my own tastes, you know. I got into trio jazz and into the more the modern jazz, listened to bebop for a while. And there was a period in my life when I worked in a music store for about 6 or 7 years, and I was virtually trained by this guy that was very knowledgeable. We were in the specialist section upstairs. We weren't in the rock and pop section downstairs. And we just went through all the different and interesting music that you could think of. World music, all the roots musics, you know, Cajun, Zydeco, Tex-Mex, all of these sort of things. Indian music, Arabic music. Spanish music, Portuguese music.
That's a real incredible education.
It was. And he used to just put on albums and make us listen to it. They'd be on while we were working. Yeah. And then later on in the day, he'd quiz us, you know. And in particular with the jazz, for example, we got to the stage where we went through all the Miles Davis albums and he changed every album. But he'd put on an album that we hadn't heard and he'd say, okay, who's the drummer? Who's playing bass on this? And we'd have to, that's how closely we had to listen. We had to be able to remember people's playing styles, you know. So that was a massive musical education on top of the one that my father had already given me inadvertently.
Yeah. You must have felt like you were in heaven.
Oh, I loved it. It was great. Because also I still, at the same time, like pop rock, and I was playing in, I was playing in a heavy rock band. I was playing in a almost like a metal band, like a hard rock band, a reggae band. I played in an Afro band as well. So I did that a lot of that. I didn't really start songwriting until I reached the age of 40. So I was prior to that, I was just a guitar player. I was a sideman. You know, I was a guy that I did sing a bit, but and I did write a bit, but not a lot. And then I got to the age of 40 and just thought, what's really ringing my bell here? And I thought, I really actually get a lot of satisfaction from writing. And I just basically did a flip and just stopped practicing guitar and just kept playing guitar. But I just use it to service the songs that I'm writing. So I have no aim to be a virtuosic guitar player. Mm. I think I realised at that point that, you know, I developed some skills, but there are so many virtuosos around that. and now with YouTube, you know, it's absolutely. Like there are 13-year-olds that can play better than, you know, legendary guitar players.
But
well,
what
technically.
Made you think that you could write? Did you just... Because you said you didn't start writing.
Yeah, I'm a sort of a stubborn person. It wasn't that I thought I could; I just wanted to.
Yeah.
I knew that I had skill with words. Yeah. I had a reasonable talent for that. But that doesn't mean you're going to be a good songwriter. And nothing really means you're going to be a good songwriter. In fact, you can study it, which I did. And I mean, there are official. I never did an official course, but I just listened to what people wrote, and started thinking about what are they doing here? Why does this song move people?
Yeah.
And this one doesn't. Why is this one a fun song and this is a sad song and this is a political song? You know, what's the substance? What's going on here? And started thinking about what I wanted to talk about, and just started experimenting. So it was more like I had a desire. I knew that I got enjoyment from the process. And I wasn't a trained singer or even a successful singer at that point in time. So I just started busking. I did a few years of busking.
In Australia,
just singing covers, you know, just singing Stones and Beatles and whatever was around at the time. Bit of Radiohead or what, you know, whatever I could get my voice around. I'm more or less a baritone. So a lot of pop songs are actually outside my range. They're too high for me. So I had to pick people like Ry Cooder, for example. I really love his instrumentation. But so Johnny Cash is pretty much where my voice is pitched.
Right,
okay. It's down there. That's where I'm singing most of the time. You know. So I just experimented and people threw things at me and I slowly got better. And now I'm in a position where I get regular gigs. I had a period in Vietnam. I was playing 7 nights a week, playing my own original material. Like not playing any, I haven't played any covers for, about 20 years or something now.
So
to speak of.
If people are listening now and they're thinking, well, where can I Where can I find his music?
How Where is he? Oh, it's hidden on the internet like everybody else's music. Just a matter of people go, oh, yeah, my stuff's online. Yeah, great. There's a lot of things online.
Exactly. Please be more specific.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll give you the URL, and if anyone can't remember it, you can ring up the radio station. But it's my name, which is Mark Hilton, MarkHilton, like the hotels. Mm. And instead of .com, it's .tv.
Right, okay.
Because .com was taken by an English tennis player, Mark Hilton, the famous English tennis player. And I couldn't even do .com.au. I couldn't do the Australian one because it's an Australian wrestler has taken that. So I just started – at that time they were selling I think – and I didn't know. At the time I was told that .tv was for people who were in media and entertainment.
Well, that's what I thought. Maybe you had your own channel, your own TV channel.
Yeah, but you know what .tv – I only found this out about 5 years ago. You know what it actually stands for? Tuvalu, the country Tuvalu.
Oh, wow.
And I had no idea. So I'm Mark Hilton .tuvalu, .tv.
That sounds quite cool, doesn't it?
Yeah, kind of. I think probably the country went broke and they just flogged off their domain name or something. I don't know. I'm not quite sure.
So people can literally just go to www.markhilton.tv and they can find everything.
Absolutely everything. Right at the top is a whole list, a bunch of buttons, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, you know, all that stuff. You just click the button. There's an icon there. And on the top right is the usual three stripes, you know, they call it, the hamburger. And you click that and you get the menu.
Perfect.
So you've got the listen page, which is you can listen to all my albums. I think there's 8 albums now. You can listen to them for free, either on Spotify or Apple Music or whatever. And the last 4 albums are on Bandcamp, so you can listen to them also freely. You just click the link.
And
there's videos.
Oh, okay.
There's about 20 videos there.
So people can see you.
Yeah, and performing. They're not live performance videos, or there are a couple of live performance videos, me playing at a festival with my band, but most of them are videos that I've made and animations that I've made.
Because I was going to ask you about the music videos on your YouTube channel, on your website. So you just said there you created them all yourself.
Yeah, because as you know, if you start playing original music, you're not going to get as many gigs as the people who play covers. So I realised when I made that decision that I'd have to have other forms of income. And in fact, like most musicians, I washed a lot of dishes and drove trams and did all sorts of jobs. But I ended up developing a bit of a career as a graphic designer.
Okay.
And so, and because I thought about it, I thought that'd be a handy skill to have if I'm a musician. And I always had an interest. It was an early interest of mine, photography and even animation. I think I did my first animation when I was about 10 with a stop frame camera. So I just sort of went down that road. And I thought, I'm just going to keep doing what I enjoy doing, and that will help me promote my music, because build my own website and design my own posters, you know, kind of thing.
So do you do everything? Do you do all your editing and everything?
Yep.
Incredible. And you're all self-taught. So you've really got your finger in quite a few pies. And
I have.
Is it just sheer determination?
Yes.
Whatever you decide that you're going to do.
It's not necessarily massive talent. I'm just determined.
I think maybe you're being a bit modest, because it seems to me like whatever you turn your hand to, you succeed in it.
In relatively speaking, I guess. Yeah, I certainly do in terms of job satisfaction. And that's what I was saying when I turned 30 and made 40 and made that decision. Late time to have a career change. But, you know, some people do it when they're 50 or 60.
But that's fantastic.
Yeah. And I just thought, I'm going to do what I enjoy. Yeah. You know, and that's what I did.
Okay. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to take a short little break and we're going to listen to one of your songs. So your song, Sweet Monique.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a bit about the inspiration for this one.
Oh, well, that's a song about, you know, the most beautiful woman in the world being my girlfriend. And she's Dutch. So I wrote this song in a style that I guess is a bit like gypsy jazz, but like the Django Reinhardt kind of style. It's kind of a version of it. It's not purist. But I had a friend in Darwin where I used to live in Australia. He's a very good gypsy guitar player. He tours as a gypsy and a flamenco guitar player. So he did the solo on it on the special gypsy guitar, and a friend called Robert Carbonaro, who's from California. He was playing with me in Ho Chi Minh City at the time, and he did the backing vocals. And what else was in there? Is there a bit of violin in there? I can't remember. But yeah, I did the rhythm guitar, and also Francis did rhythm guitar. So there's two rhythm guitars in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's it. I sing all my own songs, and I wrote the lyrics and the melody and everything. So yeah, and then I did the video, and the video it was the most laborious. It was very successful. I was very happy with it in the end. People love it. It's very entertaining, but it took me months. Hundreds of hours, because I had to learn this new piece of software, which, of course, has been completely deprecated by now. People, you know, the way a new thing comes out and then everyone uses it. And then 2 years later, it's like, oh, no, you can do that now with AI, you know, you can do it with this. You know.
Okay, well, let's anyway. Listen to Sweet Monique, and it's all about Mark's girlfriend, Monique.
Monique.
Somebody stop it from banging my head against the wall, picking and strumming till the both of my hands get sore, pushing around the difficult words but they don't sound right, thinking about my baby when she gets home tonight. I'll put a rose between my teeth, a lovesick fool walking down your street. You give your broken heart for the man putting money in his pocket for sure. It never was enough, so he's pushing her out the door. He's cruising in the limousine, she gets on her bike. I'm gonna drink some bottles of wine with my baby tonight. I'll put a rose between my teeth, a lovesick fool walking down your street. You give your broken heart sweet Monique. Do I deserve you, sweet supermarket, maybe it's the afternoon. Some friends are coming over tonight. There'll be a lot of love in the room. We're jumping on the tables and we're gonna let off some steam. I'll be underneath the stars with the woman of my dreams. I'll put a rose between my teeth. I love sick fool walking down your street. Your broken heart you give to me.
That's an exclusive, I think, from Mark Hilton, Sweet Monique, all about his girlfriend. So You say in your music that your lyrics are very important and you try and tell a story. So this story about you or your girlfriend, did you actually go up to her with a rose between your teeth?
Yep.
Love it. I do love it.
It was the other way around, actually. I kind of flipped it because I was she was at work and she came home, but I stood on the balcony with a rose between my teeth and then I sang the song to her.
Oh, wonderful. That is so good. I hope my husband's listening.
Just a note to you, to the listeners, don't try this at home because the stems of roses have thorns on them, so you need to prune the stems before inserting in mouth.
Yeah, he'll probably be sitting there with something from the lemon tree. Okay, so tell us, give us a little feel, because that was one feel, and a little bit more about your other music styles.
Other rhythms, yeah, and feels,
and,
yeah.
And the music, the lyrics.
Okay. Yeah. So, well, in terms of stylistic, I've mentioned some of them already. For example, I have, since I've been in Spain, which is about 4 years now, not full-time, but about 50% of the time I'm living here, I've been consciously writing songs with a Spanish influence. And I even attempted to write them with Spanish lyrics, but I discovered pretty quickly that doesn't work because the rhythm of the lyrics, if you translate my lyrics into Spanish, the rhythms are completely wrong. You have to know the language very well to understand the nuances of the rhythm and be able to speak, be able to write something that's convincing. So I sort of gave up on that idea. And so I just occasionally I throw in some Spanish words.
Yeah.
You know, like I've got a song called Chiquita Feliz, which is it's about, but the rest of it's all in English. But it's about a guy that's staying with a woman who is not. She's poor. She sews at night. She has a child, and then she goes to work during the day. And the guy stays at. I'm, you know, put myself in the character of the guy, and he stays at home and looks after the kid while she's at work. And but she's an innocent little child, and he's a grumpy old man like me. And you know, his eyes are opened when he looks at the way she sees the world. And so that's what that song's about. Which, you know, that's a common thing that happens to a lot of. To a lot of people, so I try to. Sometimes the songs like Sweet Monique are literal and autobiographical, but I'd say probably 90% of them are characters that are a mixture of people that I have observed. I do a lot of just sitting in cafes and listening and watching. You know. And you get ideas.
And getting inspiration from sitting, watching.
So I wrote one called Early Grave, which I wrote in Vung Tau, which is a fishing village in Vietnam. And I was sitting there at 7 o'clock one morning having breakfast in this cafe, and the table next to me was about 8 Australian guys. I didn't let them know I was Australian. I mean, they probably guessed by looking at me, but although there were other nationalities around, but they were all bragging about how many beers they'd had the night before, and, you know, I had so much fun, I can't remember a thing after 10 o'clock, you know, and all of those sort of cliches that we all get caught up in at times if we're on a drinking thing. So I wrote this song about retired guys going to an Asian country, getting themselves a local girl as a wife or a girlfriend. Yeah. And just drinking beer, you know.
Quite literally.
Which is a very common occupation for and I'm not putting it down or anything, but I was just observing it.
Sure.
And bit of tongue in cheek, but that's a slow blues song, for example. Yeah. That's the way I pitched that one. There's nothing Vietnamese about the music. It sounds completely like a Delta blues or something. But the chords are a little bit not quite what you expect. So whenever I play it with blues musicians, they kind of go, oh, when I start playing the intro to it, they kind of, oh, yeah, I can do this. And then I jump to the chorus and I go, oh, what was that? You know.
Okay. So your style is very unique, I would think.
Yeah, reasonably. Yeah, it's reasonably unique in that, it's an idiosyncratic combination of styles. Mm. And that's not me being a devil. It's just the way I hear things, you know. I love traditional styles of music. I love the blues and I love Cajun and Zydeco and Tex-Mex and Spanish flamenco I love. I love fado, Portuguese fado. Have you listened to much of that? Oh, man. It's beautiful, you know. But you have to be of that country. You have to be born there, born into. I've got a friend in Australia who's actually Dutch, lived in Australia most of his life, and he spent a decade studying flamenco. And he was even considering moving to Sevilla to live and study. And in the end, he gave up. He just said, he didn't give up playing, but he's also a jazz and a rock guitarist. But in terms of trying to forge a career in flamenco, he just said, there's no way you can do it, because the guys that are good, they're born in families where they're playing at the age of four or five.
And it is. It's,
and it's,
like
it's in their blood.
Inherent in the.
It's in their blood. It's in the language, the climate, the food, the language, the history, all of that is
in the music. And I guess if
you're
playing to an audience who are real flamenco
diehards,
then you kind of will be seen as maybe an imposter.
Oh, you will be. Yeah. You will be. Yeah. And you will be.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Okay.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
No,
it's just.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know. But seeing your limitations and maybe seeing that you won't have the audience that you want, he probably made the right decision.
Yeah, because it would have gone nowhere. But now it's been a wonderful influence on his songwriting. Oh,
exactly, because you can take it elsewhere.
Yeah, you can do something else with it. You know?
So, okay. So. At the moment, where are you at? Are you looking for other musicians to play with?
That would be lovely. And in fact, I have been jamming with people. I've I found a really good drummer, and his partner sings and plays keyboards really well. But we looked for a bass player for a while. We just couldn't find anyone. So that's sort of on hold at the moment, that project. My landlord is also a songwriter. He's half English, half German, but he's got a house in Ture, which is near Mojaca. We did a gig together at Delphos in Mojaca last year. That went very well. So we do some work together. He does his own gigs as well. But yes, I am looking. I'm sort of, for quite a while, I played a long time. I just played solo with acoustic guitar, and then I found I was sort of ending up playing in a lot of coffee shops. And I wanted to play in bars and restaurants as well. Mm. So now I'm playing with beats. I have, a looper that has drums in it. I can write drum grooves on the computer or play them on a keyboard with drum sounds and then record that loop and put it in the looper. So I play with that live. And I also loop all my own stuff I do live. I don't have any backing. The drums are sort of in the box, but everything else, the guitar and the voice, I do in front of people, because I know a lot of people do use backing tracks, but I don't really like the idea. I want to make it sound as live as possible, so I create the loops in front of people. So if I'm going to do a solo, I will loop the rhythm guitar part. If I'm going to sing a harmony, I'll sing one part and then I'll sing and loop that and then sing the next on top of it. I sort of like to do that live.
Okay, so anything that we've missed out so far? I'm going to get you to give your contact details again, but if there's anything that you want to tell our listeners that you think might be relevant.
Well, if they want to come and see some gigs, if they just go to my website, which is markhilton.tv, you just go to the homepage. There are actually the three most recent or the three upcoming gigs are usually on the homepage. But there's also just a page called Gigs. If you go to the main menu, just click Gigs and you'll see all my gigs there. I'm doing some gigs in Mojaca coming up this Sunday on the 21st. I'm playing at Tito's Bar on the shore, which is just right in front of the sea, which is beautiful. Fantastic. I'm playing there at 5 p.m. And then the following Sunday, I'm playing at Delphos in Mojaca, which is sort of inland a little bit. It's a beautiful bar run by some Dutch people with a big open area out the back with shade over the tables, and it's really lovely. So I've got two gigs coming up there. I'm playing on Sunday the 28th and also on October 11.
And if there's any bar owners or restaurant owners listening, Mark would really love to play here as well, wouldn't you?
Of course. That occurred to me when I was driving in. I thought, this looks like a really pretty place. I saw a photograph of – I haven't been down to the sea yet, but I saw that strip along there. It looks great. So if there are any – and it's an hour away, which is doable. Two hours is a bit much, but –
I think there have been some bands who've come from Mag and played down here as well. So, yeah, go and check it out. So, contact details if anyone wants to get in contact with you, Mark.
Just go to the website and there's a contact page. So you can just send me a quick message. Just put your email address and send me a message and I'll get in contact with you.
Fantastic. Right. Well, thank you very much. We're going to
wrap it up.
We're going to wrap it up now with some David Bowie.
Fantastic.
Thank you very much, Mark. Thanks, Hilton.
Rima. Cheers.